Father, we come before you and we thank you for this opportunity to get together, Lord. And Father, just to hear this assignment in chapter 16, part 2, and now on my teaching, the reference to that chapter and what you've shown me, Lord. I pray for your blessing. I pray for your anointing. And God, I just ask that you would be glorified in and through this. We love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm using the scriptures out of Luke chapter 6, verses 20 to 49. And it's part of the Sermon on the Mount that Luke brought out, even though the main Sermon on the Mount is in Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7. And I've titled this, "We Can't Live the Life Until We First Possess It." There's just a big difference from living it and possessing it. Now, I'm not going to read out the scriptures because there's 29 of them and it'll just take a lot of time. So I'm just going to expound on these scriptures. And if you want to read them, again, they're Luke 6, verse 20 to 49. The Sermon on the Mount, it's about the life and character believers should be living. That's why Jesus laid it out in this message. He didn't hold anything back. He focused on something we all deal with, and that's attitudes. First, our attitude towards circumstances, our attitude towards people, our attitude towards ourselves, and our attitude towards God. And out of that, four things we need to do if we want to be happy. Faith in God, we're to show love towards others, we have to be honest with ourselves, and there has to be obedience to God. So I broke this down into four points. The first point is our attitude towards circumstances. And I pull this out of verses 20 to 26. Now the problem I see with people, too many of them think happiness comes from having a lot of stuff. They think it comes by being in a position of authority or having the pleasures and popularity that only money can buy. People in Jesus' day were blown away when they heard him say happiness was just the opposite of what they were thinking. What people need more than anything isn't a change in their circumstances. They need a change in their relationship to God and in their outlook on life. Jesus wasn't teaching that poverty, hunger, and persecution were blessings in themselves. I mean, really, if you think about it, if that was the case, he would never have reached out to those who were suffering and helped them. This is where it hits home. Jesus was describing the attitudes we need to have if we're to experience the blessings that come with being a Christian. Now again, this is a senior pastor's reference to chapter 16, part 2. And of course, we need to do what we can to help others in a material way, but I want you to remember this. No amount of things can substitute for a personal relationship with God. That's why in Matthew's gospel, he says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, and blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness." So he wasn't glorifying material poverty. He was calling for a brokenness of heart in a person. They'll admit their life is one of spiritual poverty. Isaiah speaks about that in Isaiah 61, verses 1 to 3. So our Lord's emphasis goes back to the condition of the heart. Man, this is where it all comes from, the heart. It's not on outward circumstances. Jesus experienced persecution, and we know so did his disciples. We, as Christians, I mean, we have a tough time finding joy when people come against us, when they attack us. But here's what we forget. It's a privilege to suffer for Christ's sake. Philippians 3, verse 10. You see, when people treat us the way they treated Jesus, It's evidence we are trying to live as Jesus lived. I mean, it's a compliment, especially when you consider all the believers through the ages who were also treated this way. So here's the skinny on this. If you want wealth and nothing but fun and popularity, you could get it. But I want you to know this. It does come with a price. And that's all you're going to get. Now, don't get me wrong. Jesus didn't say these things were wrong. He pointed out being satisfied with these things is its own judgment. When people are satisfied with the lesser things of life, the good instead of the best, they end up as failures. They're spiritually bankrupt, and they don't even realize it. You see, life is built on character. Character is built on the decisions we make. But decisions are based on values. And values have to be based on faith. Point number two, our attitude towards others in verses 27 to 38. So Jesus referred to us as what? The salt of the earth, the light of the world. I mean, it makes sense. Sometimes salt is going to sting. It makes sense. Light is going to expose sin. We're living in a world that shows its hatred by avoiding us. They reject us. They insult us. They physically abuse us. People will go to any length to tear us down and try to get rid of us. So how are we to treat our enemies? You ready for this? We're to love them. We're to do good to them. And we're to pray for them. People who are filled with hatred just breed even more hatred. James chapter 1, verse 19 and 20. So if we've learned anything, we've learned it can't be done in our strength. Hands down, we've learned that. It can only be done through the power of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5, verses 22 to 26. It's the attitude of the heart that shows itself in a positive way, especially when others are negative. It shows generosity when others are selfish. And it's all to God's glory. All of it is. We shouldn't be looking for vindication before our enemies. We're to be like God in our character. Peter talks about that in 1 Peter 2, verses 18 to 21. With everything we might be dealing with today, our attitude should be of having eternity in view. Because it's not going to matter in eternity. None of this will. You see, how can I put this? If we judge others, we ourselves will be judged. If we forgive, we will be forgiven. But if we condemn, we shall also be condemned. Now, to be clear, Jesus wasn't talking about eternal judgment. He was talking about the way we're treated in this life. If we live to give, God will see to it that we receive. But if we live only to get, God will see to it that we lose. My third point, our attitude towards ourselves. Verses 39 to 45. As Jesus' disciples, we need to be sure we see clearly enough to guide others in their spiritual walk. Well, Jesus, of course, is referring to the Pharisees leading people astray. The problem comes when we see ourselves as being something greater than we are. We don't realize our blindness. Jesus says we'll lead people into the ditch. And it comes down to this, and I learned this the hard way. We can't lead others where we haven't been ourselves. In fact, the more we strive to be like Jesus, the more we realize how far short we fall. It's being honest with ourselves. If we're not honest with ourselves, then Jesus says we're hypocrites. Not only does he bring this out, I've learned and seen through the years, people who are criticizing others are usually guilty of something worse in their lives. I mean, you look at the illustrations of the tree Jesus gives in the Gospels. Fruit is always true to character. Always is. I mean, an apple tree produces apples, not grapes or oranges. Well, with that being said, a good person produces good fruit, not evil. Every one of us sin, but the witness of our words and works should be consistently good to God's glory. In ministry, those who are faithful, you know what they do? They reproduce themselves in other people. Jesus says what comes off the lips depends on what's inside the heart. What we speak reveals what is in our heart. So if we're honest with ourselves, there are things that blur our vision. These areas have to be dealt with. Then we can be used to minister to others and not lead them astray. The fourth and last point, verses 46-49, our attitude towards God. The whole emphasis is on obedience. It's not enough to just hear God's word and call him Lord. We naturally have to obey what God has commanded us. We're all builders. We need to be careful. We need to be very wise in our building. To build on the rock simply means to obey what God commands in his word. To build on the sand means we're going to obey, but we don't. You know, in appearance, we can look like we're building a strong house. But Jesus said it has no foundation and it can't last. The storm he's speaking about in the story here in Luke 6, it's not about the final judgment, the white throne judgment. The storms are the test of life that come to every one of us. Scripture points out not everyone who professes to know the Lord has had a genuine experience of salvation. They could have been active in the church. They could have been active in religious things. But if they aren't saved by faith, there is no foundation to their lives. If Christ is in our hearts, then our mouths will confess him to others. If we're rooted and built up in him, then our fruit will be good and our house will withstand any storm that ever can come against it. We have our faults. We have our failures at times. Everybody does. But here's the key. We need a continual witness in our lives, pointing to Christ and glorifying him. The basis for this sermon that Jesus gave here in Luke 6 is a personal saving faith in him, in Jesus. It's as Harry Ironside once said, we cannot live the life until we first possess it. We have to have this life first. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the things you continue to show us, Lord. These four areas dealing with attitude, they affect everything in our life from A to Z. And Father, if we could just learn to sharpen our attitude to where it'd be godly, it'd be considerate, it'd be caring for others, Lord, and it would be obedient to you. It would change everything, our circumstances, the situation that we're in, everything would change. And so, Lord, I pray that we all come to possess this life so that we can live it before you and others. We thank you, Father, and we give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.